Good day. My name is Michelle. I'm speaking today to Theo Klein in Cape Town. He's actually on a bit of a vacay at Mossel Bay. And Theo, normally he goes into Africa research quite a bit. And today it's about an interesting topic of the EU's deforestation regulation that came into force last year and how that affects our exports to the EU. Theo, good day. And thank you very much for talking to me.
Good day, Michelle. Thanks for having me once again.
Tell us about this deforestation regulation.
Yeah, so it's been coming for quite some time now, Michelle, but the enforcement only really, or not the enforcement, but the regulation only came in force June last year. But in a nutshell, the regulation is trying to prevent further deforestation and forest degradation across the globe. And essentially, it's trying to force farmers or producers of certain goods to do so in a more sustainable and environmentally friendly way. So the regulation comes into enforcement January 2025. So we are close to the enforcement date. And basically, from January next year onwards, if you want to export certain goods to the EU, you need to be compliant with a regulation that says you need to adhere to environmental protection, biodiversity conservation. You need to adhere to human rights and certain labor rights, like you may not employ children on your farm, for example. And you need to have evidence of all of that from January next year onwards, if you want to export to the EU. So what this then now means in a practical or daily practical basis, Michelle, is that farmers of these goods will have to have information on when did their production or farming take place, what time and over which period. They need to provide geolocations and or geographical coordinates of their farms, and they need to have satellite images of the area and their farms to also show if they are, you know, expanding their farm, are they cutting down trees to do so, are they hurting the environment to do so, and so forth. They also need information on the whole supply chain. So from their suppliers, their wholesalers, the export agents, they need to document all this information on some sort of digital platform or just have digital records of this to provide evidence to the EU that from the point of their farm to the point of export, that their specific products can be traced. And with all the information that goes with it, there's evidence to say that these products are farmed in a sustainable way and they meet the EU's regulation or all the requirements of that regulation. So there's a lot of...
Stop you there, Theo. Let's just talk about the specific product here. So that is now cattle, right?
It's one of them, yeah. So look, the regulation only targets 7 products. So that's soy, rubber, timber, palm oil, cattle, cocoa, and then coffee. Okay. And obviously of those 7, Namibia is a big export of cattle or beef products to the EU.
Yeah. And tell me, maybe just in terms of contribution to the GDP, that's my first question. And then my second question will be in terms of compliance within Namibia, I guess your cattle farmers now obviously use organizations like Meatco. Will Meatco then as an intermediary party have to be responsible for doing sort of pre-checking on this?
Definitely. So Meatco would have to be part of this because Meatco can't just buy a lot of cattle from farmers and slaughter them and sell that as a bulk product, export product to the EU. Meatco will have to trace every cattle from each specific farmer and literally say to the EU that these steaks and these chop or, you know, whatever, you know, this specific steak comes from this farmer whose farm is here, yes, his geolocation, and this farmer farmed this cattle from March to May and or whatever, you know, all this detail. Someone like Meatco will have to also assist the farmer in providing that information to the EU. So that will definitely change the way that, you know, cattle is bought and slaughtered and exported on a large scale, because it can't just be put together, or it has to now be separated.
Yeah.
The thing is,
do you have some sort of a feel for Namibia's readiness on this?
So I tried speaking to a few people, Michelle, obviously not living in Windhoek anymore. It's a bit difficult. I can't just drive to people and ask them now in person. But my understanding is that Namibia is nowhere close to being ready or for the enforcement of this regulation come January next year. My understanding also is that there's no framework put in place for all the different regulators in the industry to start documenting this information and putting a database together to have some sort of digital record for the EU to say, these are all our farmers, here are all their farms, these are their locations. And then also then at the point of export to say, but all these different products come from these and these different farmers. And my understanding is that nothing like that is in place at the moment.
Yeah.
So when I looked at the statistics, Michelle, just for context, like when we look at the first quarter of this year alone, just under 50%, it was somewhere 47-48% of Namibia's beef exports went to the EU alone.
Sure.
So if we are non-compliant, which is the expectation by January next year, that means we lose 50% of our export destination or market for beef, which is a significant proportion. And I mean, now you can probably tell me, Michelle, yeah, but farmers must now look for alternative markets and try and sell elsewhere. But I mean, it's so difficult to then meet the requirements that America has on their products, or China, or whoever, or Australia. And it takes time to source alternative markets. You need to fly there, meet with people. You need to showcase your product and, you know, provide evidence that it's safe for human consumption, that it meets certain standards and requirements and all these things. So I suspect that there will be major economic consequences as a result of this, because, look, agriculture is about 8-9% of GDP. So it sounds small, but agriculture is one of the biggest employers in Namibia. So your immediate economic impact would be that we have fewer export earnings. So foreign currency reserves will be impacted to an extent. But then the bigger impact is the incomes of the farmers and all the workers that they support financially. Farmers or agriculture is mostly rural. So, you know, it will also impact them more than anyone else. So those would be some of the economic impacts if we are non-compliant.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe to our listeners, I will definitely make a note that we follow up with you, Theo, maybe in a few weeks' time, or say 2 months or so, and see what has been the progress on this. But as you say, to find new markets and be compliant to their requirements as well. So yeah, definitely something to be concerned about and be on the lookout for. Thank you very much for talking to me. And I will definitely follow up with you on this one. Thank you, Theo.
No problem, Michelle. Thanks for having me.